Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For behold, that day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But as for you, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Dear friends in Christ, Advent asks you to have an eternal perspective. Advent asks you to have an eternal perspective. Here we are, 1 week into our Advent season, and simultaneously, as you know, the holiday season out there is in full swing. And I don't mean out there as if we don't participate in it as well. It is a joyous and happy time of year, after all. Our oldest caught the decorating bug the other day. So at the Silsley house, the decorations were pulled out of the attic, and lights were hung, and ribbon now adorns the staircase. Stockings are on the mantle. Now we just need the tree. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying this season. But the world's preparation of this time of year aren't just about decorating. This is a time of year, if I could put it this way, when folks seem to be a bit more gullible. What I mean is that this seems to be the time of year, which happens every year, when folks out there will actually believe more easily the lie that we humans can actually make this world better. So turn on the Hallmark Channel and see the movies on the TV. They're almost always about somebody having their life changed for the better because they finally learned the true meaning of Christmas, which usually amounts to just being a nice person. All the commercials in between the movies are about making the world better one life at a time. So the jewelry store and the toy store and the auto store, they all told me this week that I can make this year one of the best of all for my wife or for my kids. Who would have thought that all it took was for me to give them some money and my neighbor's life would be changed forever? The radio holds similar promises. Even the Christian stations, instead of placarding Christ, which they are often wont to do anyway, this time of year they put forth the exhortation that you ought to smile a little bit more and give a little more, create a few more memories with your kids, all with the promise that these things will make another person's life better. Yes, while we go about our Advent preparations in the church, the world keeps up their own preparations, singing the unending refrain, "Be good, be nice, be jolly, be selfless, be happy, give, give, give." And as far as it goes, there's really nothing wrong with any of that, but we in the church, we always recognize that such things are really temporal, passing. Advent is not about preparing for our best life now, but about preparing for eternity. See, the puzzling thing about every single Christmas season that the world would give us year after year is that they frankly don't work. Every year you hear the same general theme, right? Christmas doesn't just have to be one day a year. You can keep up that happy, giving feeling all year round. And yet, decade after decade after decade of this worldly refrain, we still apparently need the world's Christmas season to remind us how we ought to live the rest of the year. Well, if we really want the world to change anyway. Because you see, when you look around, you scratch beneath the surface of this happiest season of all, and you will still find suffering. Beneath the wrapping paper facades and the twinkling lights, there is still pain and anger, bitterness between friends, broken families, there are terrorists, there are corrupt leaders, and wouldn't you know it, there's even you. There's still sin, human sin, your sin. And Advent asks you not to focus on all of the temporal problems and how you can go about fixing them, but to focus on the eternal problem of your own sin, how it separates you from God, and how you can't do anything to fix it, but how God promises to fix it for you. In our text from Malachi this morning, the prophet is speaking to people who knew all too well about the sin of the world out there. Their problem was that they failed to recognize the sin of the world inside of them. They are a people who have abandoned the ways of God, and yet they're pegging all of their suffering and injustice on God. Malachi tells us they've failed to honor God as their Father, 1 verse 6. They've despised his name by despising his altar with unfit sacrifices, 1 verses 6 through 8. Their priests have corrupted the covenant of Levi, chapter 2, verse 8. And yet even though they are clearly the ones who have committed sin, even though they rightly deserve God's just punishment, they still say things like, "How have you loved us, O Lord?" 1 verse 1. Even though they offer subpar sacrifices, they still ask, "Why doesn't the Lord regard our offerings with favor?" 2 verse 14. They complain, "Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Where is the God of justice?" 2 verse 17. And so they conclude, "It's vain to serve God. What's the profit of keeping his charge or walking in mourning as before him? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they get away with it." Basically, their attitude amounts to this: serving God and worshiping him isn't doing anything for me. In fact, those who hate him seem to be doing far better than I am, so why bother? What's the point? And you and I are really not exempt from that kind of thinking. When you put the church's preparation this season up next to the world's preparation, I mean, let's be honest, the world's preparations are far more glittering and exciting. Who wants a season of repentance and penitence when you can have the tempting promise that you might actually contribute to the changing of this world? See, we want to know what's in it for us. Perhaps this is actually the tempting allure of the world's Christmas season. It gives us the impression that we can actually fix what God seems unwilling or unable to fix. We can put our effort into a cause and see some kind of result, which makes you feel pretty accomplished, like you are actually making a positive difference. There's something in it for me. If God's not going to make people happy, then I will. If God's not going to make hungry people fed, then I will. If God's not going to give homeless people homes, then by golly, I will. If God's not going to fix all the suffering and evil in this world, then I will. Yes, the Christmas preparations of the world will ask you to find all kinds of temporal suffering and to get to work fixing it. But there's one thing they will never ask you to look for. They will never ask you to examine the real root of the problem, which is your sin. Such is the word of law that Malachi has to speak to God's people. All throughout his book, Malachi is putting God's people in their place with his word of law, not letting them point to all the sin and evil out there, but pointing them to their own sin. "Watch out," he says. "The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze," says the Lord of hosts, "so that it will leave neither root nor branches." It's like God is sort of saying two things at the same time with this word. On the one hand, it's like he's saying, "Look, leave the arrogant and evildoers to me. What are they to you? They may prosper now, but in the end, their worldly success, their worldly wealth, their worldly prosperity, it will all be reduced to smoldering stubble. Simultaneously, God issues a warning for those of us who would strive after such temporal things and then complain that God is unjust when he doesn't give them to us. He issues this warning to those who would be arrogant and commit evil by despising that eternal promise of God because their temporal life isn't going the way they want. Do you see? Do you hear? That eternal perspective that Malachi brings? To get our focus beyond this temporal world and to the eternal promises that God has to give us. You see, if you took every piece of advice that the world gave you this Christmas season and put it into practice, even if every mouth had food, every body had a warm place to sleep, every child had a safe home, even if all wars were to cease and the worst diseases were to be healed, even if every temporal problem were fixed, the world would still be in the same sorry state that it is now. It would still have your sin and my sin. So while the Christmas season of the world asks you to endlessly attempt to change the world around you, the Advent season of the church asks you to look in repentant faith to those eternal promises that God has given in his Son, Jesus Christ, who has come and is coming again. See, there's really only one fix for the suffering and evil in this world. It is first to remove the sin which causes it, which is why you can't ask sinners like us to actually fix the problem that we ourselves have created. No, God must be the one to act, and indeed, he has. He has promised to reduce all of your arrogance and all of your evil doing to smoldering stubble, and he has done it all in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Christ has endured the fire of God's wrath for you. There on the cross, God does not promise to end your temporal suffering. On the cross, he does not promise that you will be exempt from struggle and affliction. He does not promise that you will have your best life now or give you gifts to go out and change the world. No, his promise at the cross is not temporal, but eternal. There, your sin is completely forgiven. Your salvation is accomplished for you. It is finished, says Jesus. And you see, it's that promise that carries you through all of the temporal affliction that will come your way. It's an eternal promise, and Malachi points us to what it will look like when Christ finally does usher in eternity on that last day. The Son of Righteousness, he says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out leaping like calves from the stall, rejoicing at this wonderful gift that Christ has given. The failing health that weighs you down now will then be restored 1,000-fold. The tears that you shed now over those loved ones who have died in the faith, they will be wiped clean. The fears and the worries that accompany you every day now, then will be nowhere to be found. And above all, the sin that you fight with every single day of your lives now, then completely destroyed forever. You see, that is how God promises to change the world. And he's given us a down payment, a guarantee in the death and resurrection of Christ. So, enjoy the Christmas season, to be sure. But as you enjoy these temporal blessings, do not lose sight of the eternal perspective that Advent gives you. Continue to repent of your sin, to hear the forgiving word of Christ, and to pray for that day to come quickly, when eternity in his presence will finally begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.